And I know we asked about the issue of which, if any, PARP inhibitor you prefer in that situation. You already stated the way you think through that issue in general. We did bring up another issue that's been out there. I think it started SGO 2018. I saw there was some more data on this. It's really interesting about dosing of niraparib and, you know, the issue of the weight of the patient and the baseline platelet count. Can you just sort of go through that again and how you approach dosing based on weight and platelet count?
Yep. So if you remember, the NOVA trial was the first trial to result and show this really impressive benefit when you use niraparib as maintenance. But aside from the amazing responses, the other noticeable aspect of that study was a very high rate of high-grade thrombocytopenia. So you had about 40% of patients having grade 3 and 4 thrombocytopenia and quite a bit grade 4, which is hard to tolerate. That's potentially dangerous for patients and limited, I think, widespread acceptance of that drug initially because people were worried about that. So there was a post hoc analysis done of a number of factors, but what really came to the surface was patients who started niraparib with a weight less than 77 kilograms or baseline platelets less than 150,000 had a substantially higher risk for severe grade thrombocytopenia than those without either factor. So it was like 44% versus 13%. So that was demonstrated again in a post hoc analysis of QUADRA, which was a much more heavily pretreated population that was presented this year at SGO. But impressively, when that post hoc analysis was done, there was an ongoing frontline study with switch maintenance niraparib following complete responses to induction platinum-based chemo, irregardless of BRCA status. That's the PRIMA study. And that study had accrued a good number of patients, and they amended the protocol partway through and said, we're going to do starting dose based on the weights and plates analysis. So patients who met either one of those risk factors actually started therapy at 200 milligrams once a day as opposed to 300 milligrams. And those who met neither criteria started at 300. And so we don't have the efficacy data yet for PRIMA, and so that's a key point. But we've had presented the safety data for PRIMA because that study is completed accrual and is maturing, where that modification clearly shows they've brought the rate of thrombocytopenia specifically kind of back in line with the other two PARP inhibitors. So really the hematologic toxicity seen in PRIMA looks very similar to what we've seen in SOLO-1, for example. And so I think from a safety standpoint, that's great. The next question is, do you see any decrement in efficacy among those patients who started at 200? And that will have to await the results of the PRIMA primary analysis, which we hope will be out this year, but we don't know.
Although I think one of the cases where this came up that prompted some discussion about that was this patient who had a really great response to niraparib, but she had to be dose reduced down to 100. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think she was already over a year in her response on 100 milligrams. So it was interesting, at least clinically, seemed like that patient benefited.
Yep.
I'm sure that's not rare or unique either.
Yeah.